Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Herbal Tea Calmman.
Oh, wow. Herbal Tea Calmman is here.
Hi, Jesse. Jesse?
Yeah.
How's your world?
Oh, things
How's your world?
Things are going really good for me. Namaste.
It's so good to hear.
What kind of tea are you drinking today, Herbal Tea Calmman? Herbal tea.
I just got back from my samba lesson. You know the best thing about samba?
I don't know.
Is just like reintroducing yourself to your body.
Right, getting to know your body.
Hello, body.
Do you greet each of your body parts serially?
Oh, of course you have to. Finger, yeah. Hello. Yeah. Knee, hello.
Elbow, namaste.
Hello, taint.
Yes.
Yummy.
How's your family, Herbal Tea Calmman?
Well, I don't speak to my father much. But
okay.
I consider my lovers to be my family.
Wow.
We had a lovely vacation this weekend in Tulum.
Oh,
you can just take the crabs right out of the water.
Did you bring your lovers to Tulum?
Yes, we all went to Tulum.
How many in the party?
Baker's dozen of lovers. You just let the water lap at your knees.
Yeah.
You just pull the crabs right out of the water.
Right out of the water.
You just suck the meat.
Sure.
Yummy.
Sounds beautiful. Did you do anything at night in Tulum? Did you do anything out on the beach, bonfires or anything like that?
Oh, we didn't sleep. So night and day blended together.
Sure.
Night and day, just a sea of bodies.
Ugh. Uh-huh. And a sea of crabs.
It was yummy. Crabs. And
it's a crab
humans,
sea and a body sea, yeah.
And, how's your world?
I'm doing great, Herbal Tea Calmman, and it's really nice to see you, but could I talk to Jordan, please?
Oh, yeah, I'll get him. Hi, Jesse.
Hi, Jordan.
Sorry, my alter ego
Herbal
comes
tea
out
Calmman.
When I drink herbal tea.
Yeah.
Was here.
Yeah.
I hope he didn't say anything weird.
No, it was all straight down the middle.
Oh, good.
It's as normal as it gets.
Because, again, I don't know what he says when he gets here.
It was some plain old-fashioned. he was talking about how he admires Tom Brady's work ethic.
Oh, okay. He's a big sports fan.
Yeah. He was talking about how much he loves to read the weekend section of the newspaper.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Find out all about all the new movies hitting theaters.
Not to mention the local style section.
Right, sure.
What's that? You look through the real estate listings just for fun.
Just for fun.
Just check out the real estate listings
even
for fun.
Even if you're not looking, it's just kind of fun to know what's out there.
Sometimes I'll go to an open house, even when I'm not in the market to buy a home, just because I'm like, hey, maybe I'll see how the other half lives and possibly get a free cookie.
Growing up, my family went to so many open houses.
Wait, is that real?
Yes, on the weekend.
Let's introduce our guest.
Hated it, yes.
Let's introduce our guest, because this sounds like a fruitful topic.
It's not.
I did not know that I touched a nerve with Jordan Morris. Our guest on the program is the best stand-up comedian. She has a brand new special. It's called Weakness is the Brand. She also has a brand new streaming television talk show program called What's Your Ailment? It's talking to entertaining people about their mental illnesses.
Yes.
And a new tea towel.
Got a tea towel. Listen,
Maria Bamford is in
it. Thank you so much.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. We're so thrilled to have you.
Thank you for having me. You know, lots of merch available. There's a comic book drawn by my husband, MariaBedford.com. So many things are going on.
How's your world?
Oh, my God. I love this character, and I so much relate. There's so many L.A. people, including myself. I have a feeling it's a part of me that wants to say things like, God, I've stopped eating sugar and white flour, and I just wonder, will I ever be able to stop talking about it?
I can't stop talking about it. That's the one thing I can't stop doing.
Namaste, Maria.
I feel greet myself, the God within you. If I feel myself without something to talk about, I just start a new cleanse.
You know, people talk about this, about trauma, and the one trauma I have is that I am without trauma. And I don't mean to tear up. Wow, I didn't realize this is going to come up so quickly. But I haven't had any experience of anxiety or confusion or a lack of confidence. I've had a copious amount of confidence and just
almost
joy
an
in my
excess.
Life, you know, and
thank you for sharing that, Maria.
Thank you.
That's yummy. yummy.
You know, I used to drink herbal tea until I, you know, kind of got off of it.
Oh wow!
Oh shit!
Smugging herbal tea, Coleman. You know, I learned about the plastics that are in the bags. The bags have trace amounts of plastics.
No, now I sip water directly from a platter. I do platter based.
A drinking platter.
Jordan, Maria, do you guys ever think about what's going on with the oceans?
Oh, all the time. I can't stop. I can't stop.
I just
worry about them.
I mean, it's not just fish. It's dolphins.
Sure.
It's turtles. Those goddamn motorboats keep hitting the turtles and the manatees, and they're just floating around. And then what happens? The turtles get hit in the shell, and then they got to go to the turtle hospital because their shell gets an air pocket in it, and then they can't sink. They can't get out of the ground.
You know how barnacles eat with a tiny flagella?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, yes.
If you put a paintbrush in that flagella, they will paint instinctively.
Mm-hmm.
They're instinctively creative, the barnacles.
I collect the works.
Yeah, and they... And we're just killing them.
Yeah, we're killing artists.
Right, sure.
Is there anything going well?
I have a really good hot yoga class.
I just subscribed to BritBox.
I love Acorn. Do you have Acorn?
I feel like the arts are no longer, or at least I don't think they have ever shifted society as a whole. I'm just realizing this a little late in the game. Sorry about that. But I think it's important to start multitasking. Do you ever feel like that? Like you need to, I feel like I need to do more things besides, I'm going to do my act.
Right.
But then while I'm doing it, I could do menial tasks, you know, small things.
Sure, like text stuff, likely
stuff,
voters.
Stuff envelopes.
Yes, stuff envelopes. I'll clean your glasses. I will do a job search just within the audience. See, you know, maybe there's a matching, you know, little monster type action within the crowd.
Maybe fold some shirts and then take them by JCPenney.
Yeah.
I could put them out.
I worked at JCPenney.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I worked at Nordstrom and I really liked the folding. I miss the mindless folding.
I miss that board you fold around.
Oh, I didn't have a board.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, so in the young women's section, which was called, what was it called? Collections,
maybe? Brass Plum.
Of Macy's downtown. Macy's. Brass Plum is the Nordstrom one. You're absolutely right.
We didn't use a board because they're wasteful.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Ouch.
They're made from a very intelligent wood.
No judgment. It's just interesting.
It's interesting. Yeah.
Maria,
so different. It just everyone's experience is so different, and that's what I love about experiences.
Maria, ooh, I think the first time that you were on The Sound of Young America, which was not that long ago, maybe 12 years ago, something like that.
Yes.
If I remember correctly, you were still taking temp jobs from time to
time. Oh, yes, for sure. About a few years ago, I signed up again just to see if I could still get, you know, if I could get a hand in.
Yeah.
It's all online now, so I got an appointment right away. A friend of mine who went to the same temp agency, he said they remembered me. because I don't remember if I was a reference on his resume or something, but Patrick Sussman said, Maria Bamford, she would take anything, which is true. I would. I worked.
Is there any, what was the best and worst temp job you ever had? I don't know if anything specific comes to mind.
The most painful ones were just sort of like there was one nondescript a legal office for lawyers, obviously, where there was no computer, and I sat at this empty desk, and no one came in or out, and there was one phone, but it never rang.
Right.
That felt bad.
Sure.
Some of the other more emotionally painful, like when you have a development meeting with somebody at a studio, and then the next week you're their assistant. Ouch. Yeah.
I remember I talked to maybe Carrie Kenny, but definitely one of the state people. I think it was Carrie Kenny. And she told me that because MTV paid so badly at the time, and because there were like 12 members of the state, while the state was on MTV, they were working temp jobs.
That's so right.
She said that during that time, she had a cater waiter job that she showed up to, and it turned out to be at Viacom. And the bosses of MTV, she had to cater waiter for, and they did not recognize her.
Wow. So sad. I was working at NBC, and I was on The Tonight Show the night before. I was working at NBC News, local NBC 4. Okay. And
I know Fritz Coleman.
Yeah.
Me too.
Oh, yeah.
He was the one who said, were you on The Tonight Show last night? I was working at the reception desk the next day, and he's like, yep, got to get this call.
I was in a commercial for the local weather. I know listeners are sick of hearing me wag my dick about the time I was in a local weather commercial.
No, I love to see that. I love to see that particular dick flop out.
Any excuse to listen. If it's an excuse to post the commercial on Reddit.
Yeah. It's great.
Anyway.
Jordan plays a surfer dude.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to know about the waves.
Asking Fritz where the best waves are.
Oh, that's lovely.
Anyway.
Did
he's a great guy. He loves the arts. He did one-man shows for a long time.
Yes, several. And, just a lovely, very productive and creative comedian. So, yeah.
But Maria, what
always
was
wrong about the weather, though. never seem to predict the weather.
Yeah. It turned out he always has the sheet upside down.
Right, sure.
Which really throws a curveball there. Mm-hmm. Maria, what were your best temp jobs in your many temping years?
Let me see. I did enjoy reception desk things where I was just there for a few days so I could shine and I could find out what food was hidden in someone's desk. And then that was a dark side point where
What are we talking? What kind of food are you finding in desks?
Sometimes people have little snack bars or hidden, you know, chocolates. And yeah. Or once I was at a Warner Brothers a temp position for a music executive, and the person had an application fully filled out to go to clown college.
Wow.
And I was like, okay.
I haven't mailed it in. I just like knowing that it's there.
Yeah. I'm out of here.
Yeah. They put it on the nose.
Artist.
They honk it. Get in a car with 10 other guys and peel out.
I liked being it is nice being sort of invisible and helpful on tasks. I gotta say, probably the worst one was that Y2K thing where where was all this weird panic around computers.
Right.
And I worked at Aramark Uniform Services in Burbank, still there, right out of the 5.
Aramark, bro, you need a uniform, you need to dress like a bunch of other guys you work with. Aramark, right out of the 5.
And it was so deeply boring. Like, just, like the real highlight of my day was when I get a little high because I get to get a Diet Coke. I give myself a treat of a Diet Coke and a, you know, an artificial brownie from a
vending machine.
Sure, one of those there's hyper chewy kind of gummy brownies.
7,000 calories.
Receptionist is a real crapshoot of a job. I had a receptionist job. It could not have been better.
Yeah.
I worked for a while at a nonprofit where I went from having a real job that was like it was like a kind of fellowshipy kind of job, you know, so it was it had a limited term and they ran out of money and they couldn't keep me on. But that was like a little harder. Like I had to do stuff that was challenging, write press releases and that kind of stuff. And then they were like, well, Jesse, you know, we have to fire you. But the receptionist just left. Would you like to have the receptionist job? And the receptionist job was 30 hours a week, the exact right numbers of hours a week to work.
Exactly. Gravy.
And over the course of the 9 months maybe that I was the receptionist, I managed to like duck and dodge all non-receiving responsibilities. Like they sort of explained to me that they would be adding responsibilities to my job as time went on. And once I, but I just managed to just like not be there when someone was walking up with things to alphabetize. You know what I mean? Like I really put a lot of effort into doing a great job at receiving
so that
no one could say I was doing a bad job.
Yeah.
I was great at answering the phones, transfer the phones, say hello to somebody who comes in, we'll offer them some coffee. But these are things that happen every 15 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
And the rest of the time you can just fuck around on the internet.
That, yeah, and I think I was just as the internet was coming to be when I was, I just remember becoming more of a play place where I could work on my own stuff.
But Maria, what happens when you're a receptionist and someone who controls your job can see your computer screen? Then you're fucked. Then you're totally fucked.
Yeah.
Or what if they catch you and they make you alphabetize things? That's the worst job there is.
This actually was the worst. I worked at a law firm down on the West Side, and it was alphanumerical filing of legal briefs that weren't – they were like cases that were, you know, litigation that was very business or, you know, just very – couldn't understand. There was no emotion in the words. I couldn't understand what was it that happened. Who is at fault? There was no blood on the documents.
Right. I temp for a minute at a law firm that my wife worked at in San Francisco. And the really intense part about a law firm is billable hours, I feel like. Like there is this thing where every person at the law firm, when you are working on anything related to a specific case, you have to code it in the computer for that case so they can charge the person for your time, you know, and if you're a receptionist, you're getting paid $12 an hour and they're charging $40 an hour or whatever for your filing time, right? But like you also – you have to like – you have to do it perfectly all the time because that's the only way they get any money.
Yeah.
So like you can't waste time at a law firm because everybody is obsessed with not wasting time and they count how much time you waste. They're constantly counting how much time – no one counted that at the Trust for Public Land.
when you guys were doing –
they were glad I was nice.
When you guys were doing your first, you know, round of like – I'm at a job. I can fuck around on the internet. What was on the internet at the time?
I didn't feel like I could fuck around on the internet. I don't know. I think I know I did do my own projects and stuff. Some, you know, definitely emailed and checked my pager. I had my pager.
Oh,
all the time.
Sure.
What if somebody needs my headshot?
You probably had to run a hard copy headshot down to an office somewhere.
So ludicrous.
Maria had a messenger service, Jordan.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, I would fall asleep sometimes at work, like in an alphabet, you know, sometimes go and be
found. Just sitting up.
Just sitting up. Yeah. That happened a few times. and then a general incompetence. That was one of my reasons I would get fired is I worked at Warner Brothers Switchboards, and it was just very complicated to me in my brain of like you had to never forget certain people's names who work for the company and never put them on hold. Certain 18 names. I couldn't remember it. And I got fired within, I think, 2 days. And they made it – it was kind of more dramatic. Like they said, you're never going to work at Warner Brothers again. And I was like, oh, all right. But it was
You don't hang up on Mr. B. Bunny.
Yeah.
He made this studio.
Yeah. Well, then I think I had a job there right away the next next week just because I think with temp agencies, they don't care. They just kind of put you in there. I mean, they –
They care. Apple One, Glendale, 818-247-2991.
On the topic of sleeping on the job, I went to high school with a guy who, like, right out of high school started working for Home Depot, and I think, like, still works there. He's just, like, a Home Depot lifer. I think it's one of those good jobs. You get benefits. They move you up. And his thing of, like, why he liked working for Home Depot so much, I think they're, you know, good benefits, you know, pretty good pay. But he devised a plan where, you know how, like, there's a part of Home Depot that's just, like, you know, racks of lumber, you know?
Yeah.
He did a thing where he would remove most of the lumber, but then put back, you know, one or two pieces of front-facing lumber, and then he would crawl inside and go to sleep, but cover it up so that no one could see him. He had, like, a blanket and magazines in there.
Oh my God, like a wonderful fort.
Yeah, he had like a nest and like no one, I don't know why, I don't know, I guess maybe he knew where the popular lumber was. Like, okay, people are less likely to want this kind, so I can make my lumber nest here. Anyway.
I mean, what's good about that is,
yeah.
So in my case, when I was just sending an email to Maria Bamford to ask her to appear on The Sound of Young America when I was supposed to be working at the Trust for Public Land. You know, it was America's waterways, America's national parks, America's state parks, America's rail to trails projects that were suffering.
Yes.
In that case, it's just Frank Depot,
right,
the owner of Home Depot.
Sure, yeah.
There's no victim here.
No victim. I guess the people come. I guess if you've ever been to Home Depot, it's got to be like up there with like Home Depot and Kinko's, I regard as the place where you are least likely to get anyone to help you nicely.
Yeah, my father-in-law has worked at hardware stores his entire career. He's like your friend from high school. He got out of high school, got a job at a hardware store, and has worked at hardware stores his entire career. And at this point, he is the manager of, shout out to Jackson's Hardware in San Rafael, California.
Whoa.
Great employee-owned hardware store.
Nice.
The vitriol that they at Jackson's, people who try to help their customers have for Home Depot because of just the total disinterest in helping you that happens at Home Depot. There's a Home Depot right by my house, and for that reason there are no hardware stores by my house, other hardware stores. And you go in there and, like, I cross the threshold and just a single tear forms in the corner of my eye, knowing what the daunting challenge that's ahead of me.
Yeah. It seems like I know when I worked for giant corporations in retail, it's just sort of the lack of training thing where you're not given the training. Like,
sure.
I worked in lingerie at JCPenney, and these poor women would come in and be like, do you have a C-cup, but I have this special. And I'm just like, I was 18. I'm like, oh, my God, you're talking to me about your breasts. Oh, God.
I need an adult. I've only got 5 years with my tits.
Was that the first place they put you was lingerie, or did you move around?
They put me in lingerie, and then they put me in a wedding registry.
Oh, that's fun.
Which was, again, like something. I also had social anxiety, so I would, and this was prior to learning to ask for help. If I didn't know where something was, like Precious Moments figurines. Mm. Everybody's collecting them, and it's really important to get the right one.
The one where he's holding a beagle?
Yeah.
Went in the back, and I would go in the back and say, we're out of that one. It will be coming in next Wednesday when I was not working, which I feel terrible about now, but you know, I think there is like a learning curve how to have a how to have a job and how to ask for help and stuff like that. Because I don't think I learned until I was like 25 of like, if I don't know how to do something at a job, I can ask someone else how to do it.
Sure,
like
right.
It just never occurred to me. I thought you should naturally, intuitively understand phone systems.
I feel like at the Home Depot, there are two general categories of help.
Yeah.
One is you go up to someone and say, you know, where can I find the right adhesive to, you know, connect copper and PVC or whatever it is? And that person goes, how the hell should I know?
Yeah.
That's one category. That's like a rude person who doesn't know and doesn't think they should know. And then there's another category where you go up to them and you ask and they say, how the hell should I know?
Sure. But then
it's like a sort of nicer version of that. Yeah, neither knows what you need or where it is.
I guess also there's the person who's walking down the aisle and they see you kind of with your, you know, chest out looking around for help. And they see you looking and they meet your gaze and then like lightly jog in the other direction.
Yeah. They do like a full-on like 80s comedy sketch about cabs not stopping for black people in New York.
Sure.
Like there's sort of like a swerve that happens, like avoiding eye contact. Mm-hmm.
I know I did that as an associate on many retail jobs. I had a furniture store job where I for 2 years I worked there in summer. I could not sell anything to save my life. Yeah. I sold a set of bunk beds, but that was only because they really wanted them.
Right. I am not leaving here without one bed on top of another bed.
You know, some people have these jobs figured out, though.
Sure.
The thing that –
beautiful,
like,
yeah.
I have two friends who during the part of our lives when we had these jobs – just nailed it so hard. Mm. I have a friend named Nick, used to be the producer of Bullseye. And Nick, when we were 20 and 19 or whatever, he would work holidays at a Macy's. And one time we compared our Macy's notes because I worked at Macy's for a while. And I did fine. You know, like I'm decent at customer service. Yeah. I'm patient with people. I help people, you know, help those people find their Tommy by Tommy Hilfiger or whatever.
Mm-mm-mm.
But I would make, you know, I was making the $12.25 an hour, which I was grateful to get. You know, it was a lot better than making $5.75 an hour. But Nick was like, yeah, I made like $9,000 in December. I was like, what? And he's like, well, I got myself put in the luggage department and I got on the commission track. And of course, when people come in to buy luggage, they spend $3,000. Mm. And I was like, how did you figure that out?
Yeah.
And I had another friend named Adam who had one of those canvassing jobs, you know, like literally the jobs where it's on a telephone pole and it says teens need work, pull the thing. And it's like he was raising money for the Sierra Club or something like that, you know, and it was door to door. But he's good looking and people would donate money to the Sierra Club. And he, like, every – I know, like, 20 people who have had that job. They all got fired on the second day.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
every single person got fired. And he's like, oh, no, that summer I made, like, $17,000. I'm like, how is that – and I'm like, oh, fuck, because you're good looking. You have it all figured out.
Yeah. Charm, eye contact, those things are supposed to help too.
Sure, maybe a soft touch on the shoulder somewhere. Ooh, innocuous.
Yeah, yeah, not on the midriff.
No.
That's like, a big problem I had at Macy's.
Right.
Was somebody would ask me where can I find older men's trousers,
and I just poke them right in the belly button.
I give them the old Pillsbury Doughboy.
Right. You know, 1 out of 10 likes it. Give me a little giggle, but
let me guide you by your lower back.
Right this way. Let me usher you. Mmm, you smell good. Yummy.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I, you know, we shouldn't gripe too hard about people who give. Because, like, if you're, you know, customers, people are beasts. People are fucking beasts.
I'm so grateful that anyone shows up to a job, much less has any acuity, ability at doing it, because it's possible to have a bad day at work. I was just thinking, you know, I've had some bad days at work during comedy for sure, and I had a bad show about a year and a half ago where I don't know what I just decided not to rehearse, which I need to rehearse before I got some Facebook messages that said, hey, I like your stuff. This show was really below par, and I was like, oh, shit. You know, first I was like, how dare you? I'm in process. And then I listened to the recording and I was like, oh, I ooh, I am sorry. Mm-hmm. It was egregious how many oohs and ahs I was saying. And so I sent them, I offered to send everybody their money back. And the only one guy asked for it, and he said, I'll donate it to a mental health charity.
Ouch. Okay.
Ouch.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But, you know, like everybody has bad days where you screw up, you know, or just, you know, just showing up is spectacular sometimes.
I grouse about the Home Depot service, but I wonder what's the Home Depot asshole customer that they have to deal with all day that makes you hard like that.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Just
yes.
Like a hammer fan, just a fan of hammers, and he's mad that your hammers aren't the right gauges. I don't know.
Even more than that.
Is that how you measure a hammer size, the gauge?
Even more than that, they probably just make it such a nightmare mm-hmm. to work for the corporation that you could never actually gain enough experience doing it to like there are ways to build those systems such that it's not a miserable mm-hmm. life grinder.
Sure.
Oh, do you guys ever think of doing other jobs besides the jobs that you have right now?
Yes, it terrifies me.
Really?
I think I'm unemployable.
Oh no. That's yeah. not totally not true. You're a self-starter. You're the definition of a self-starter.
Sure. I'm not another starter though. I'll tell you that right now, Maria.
I think of things all the time just cuz I like to learn stuff, but I'd like to think that I have other – it scares me just – especially getting older and show business and going, I may lose some of my – I've been so sharp and yeah. and such an incredible performer. But just worrying like, can I keep up with it? What else can I do? I do have other skills.
Touch typing.
Administrative.
Sure.
I did volunteer receptionist, which I felt terrible. It was at a nonprofit. It was at the Downtown Women's Center. And that is an intense job. Like you're fielding calls from people who are desperate and need housing, which is a massive issue in Los Angeles. So it's like – and there isn't a clear answer. It's not like, yeah. I'll just transfer you to Jim. You know, like
– Jim knows where the houses are.
Yeah. No, it's like, okay, have you tried, you know, 17 sure. different things? And then where are you right now? I mean, it was just – yeah. And the fact that it was a volunteer, super shitty, like me, providing those answers who is not – I mean, is – But I guess it's better than nobody answering the phone.
Sure. My thing is like, fuck. Should I just be live streaming myself playing video games? Should I be sitting around trying to create stories, or should I just get up every day at 9, turn on my webcam, start playing video games,
yeah.
and yammering,
yeah.
just yammering.
Okay. I mean, you're already a professional yammerer, so
sure.
you're halfway there.
Sure, I've been yammering since before PewDiePie even yeah.
and
became
Jordan,
racist.
Jordan, I'm not gonna say what you're doing at 9 o'clock mm-hmm. in the morning. Otherwise,
right?
But. Mm. You know, while you might be, you know, taking the cat for a walk, that's possible.
Sure.
It's also possible you might be doing a little gaming.
Sure. I mean, as long as I'm there. I thought you were going to get
I know, me too.
I thought you were going to do a jerking off thing.
Oh, no.
He knows my jerk off. Yes.
Schedule? Wait a minute.
I am a morning jerker.
Right. I mean, I like to finish CBS this morning.
Right.
I like to spend a little time with Gail.
Yeah.
And then
I'd like to finish two CBS this morning.
Oh, wow.
I'd like to spend a little time with Gail.
Sure, yeah. Right between CBS this morning and Let's Make a Deal.
Right.
I always do 10 minutes of mindfulness meditation right before, so then, you know, you really feel it.
Right. Exactly. So you get the full effects of CBS this morning.
Can I say something about Let's Make a Deal?
Sure.
Yeah. Let's Make a Deal is often on television when I'm getting my hair cut.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this before, how like surprisingly entertaining it is and how great Wayne Brady is in it.
It is. Oh, yeah, yeah, it's gotten to the point where watching Let's Make a Deal makes me want to get out of show business because I'll never be that good.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, look at fucking Wayne Brady. He's just saying anything that comes to his head and it's all pretty good.
Yeah.
It's all good.
So yeah, so check me out on Twitch where I'll be playing video games.
Okay.
And then between 8:55 and 9, check me out on OnlyFans.com where I'll be cranking it too.
I like to get books from used bookstores about how to, like old college textbooks. Like there's one about, like I realize, you know, somebody says, well, how do you want to feel when you've had a certain amount of success? And I think I always felt like if I achieved everything in, you know, comedy or whatever, show business, that I would feel like this calm, giving sense and I would just feel at peace. And then I would generally want to help other people. And I was like, oh, my God, I want to become a nurse.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
Wait a minute. I want to get into hospice care. I can get there right now through the assistant nursing program at Pasadena City College. But I did get a used assistant nursing textbook. I've looked through it. I know how important it is to flip and powder.
Sure.
Flip and powder.
Flip then powder or powder then flip? Or does it matter?
Oh.
Jordan, you're playing like you don't know how to flip and powder.
I'm just testing Maria.
I know what you do at 8:55.
Sure, you got a flippin' powder.
I just, well, and then I know I'd have to get back to, I love to read about things, but the social anxiety part of actually doing something like that, of actually having human contact, of like patting somebody with a cool washcloth up and down their hindquarters to clean them, and then help them over to the toity, and then create chit chat.
Yeah,
because I think that's really important in nursing.
Sure,
is to be.
I really appreciate good chit chat while I'm having my blood drawn. I always like.
Yeah.
I love a chatty phlebotomist.
Love a chatty phlebotomist. Sure.
And I have a shaky hand, too, which I worry somehow. But, I mean, I just think there should be no barrier to participate in any job.
Sure. No knowledge set, just wanting to do the job.
You have a sort of career day mindset.
Right.
Well, because that's how all careers started out. Like in the 1200s or whatever, somebody said, you know what? I kind of want to see what's inside of your body.
Yeah.
I'll take a look.
Yeah.
You know, and take a look at that.
Yeah. That I had that same conversation with my barber last week. Let me drill a quick hole in there.
Yeah. Sure.
Get a little peekaroonie.
Sure. If that's where the evil spirit lives, this will let him out. Him or her.
Yeah.
Or they.
Yeah,
I've had a good experience kind of recently doing a volunteer job where I work with kids, and this is really great. I really like this. Maybe like this is something I would want to do, you know, on a more permanent basis.
Yes.
And then I'm like, oh boy, I have 13 years of a podcast where I just talk about jerking off. Like, does this make that impossible?
That's a concern for me as well.
Sure.
I often think like I'll get really. I'll start feeling really passionate about an issue.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, as a National Public Radio journalist, I have no political opinions. But
of course not. Why would you?
Sometimes, deep inside myself, there's a little...
A lot of good ideas.
You do drink Southern Comfort.
Sometimes, deep inside myself, there's a little bit of passion.
Yes.
And I'll get pumped up about something. I'll think, you know, I'm gonna change the world.
Mm.
You know, that was my dad's job. My dad was a full-time professional organizer his entire life. Well, granted, deeply problematic alcoholic for much of that. But but still, he really did a lot of good in the world. And
polish over here, it shines over there.
Yeah.
Sure. Flipping powder, as they say.
And I think to myself, you know what? I'm gonna stand up for something while I still can, and then I think, what if they hear my podcast?
Yeah, so so Maria, I think I want to take a page out of the person whose desk you sat at who had the emergency clown app,
clown school college application. Yeah,
Brian, I don't want you to do it.
but how quickly can you destroy the archives? Is there a thing where if both Jesse and I turn a key at the same time, every episode just goes and we can start new lives?
No matter where Brian goes, he's got a briefcase, what do you call it, handcuffed to his wrist.
Right, exactly, with the codes. So we can just we blow the archives, we can start new lives.
Oh, my God.
Don't you think everybody has that kind of online presence past situation now?
Like, I don't know. I think,
I think the jobs of the future will have to be a lot more forgiving about people's online hoo-has.
Our friend, past guest on this show at some point, I think, Hayes Davenport from Hollywood Handbook.
Sure.
Like, a Hollywood Handbook, a wonderful, brilliant, hilarious podcast. Very intense comedy and very somewhat distressing comedy. And, you know, Hayes has completely dedicated his life to local activism, hosts a great podcast called L.A. Podcast I really enjoy listening to, but also is, like, working on a city council campaign and, like, working with a homeless nonprofit and so on and so forth. And I just wonder, like, what if these other, like, dewy-eyed idealists that are hanging out with Hayes talking about how they can solve the housing crisis in Los Angeles, like, turn on that one episode where they went on the Conan stage at
at Comic-Con. And everyone says he was going to play Mrs. Batman.
Everyone was just there to get a limited edition Conan Funko Pop figurine.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And so they just – like what – how would that – how could that possibly – you know what I mean? Like the guy – the only guy I ever knew that ran for office when I was a kid was a bank teller. He ran for school board. Now, did he turn out to get involved in some grift and graft later? Yeah. But I always thought he was a nice bank teller. And there's no – nobody's going to say like, oh, well, you know, I happen to know for a fact that he is rude to customers as a bank teller. It's not a concern.
So it's a fear of being canceled, right? It's like a fear of like if you went into a different place in the world that they would say, what was said was unacceptable. Whereas the entertainment industry, you could say.
Maria, here's the thing. It's not so much, and I don't mean to speak for Jordan. You can correct me if I'm wrong. It's not so much a fear of being canceled as the fact that we don't stand behind our work.
Yeah, I think it's like, you know. I think
if you had to defend your own work. Yeah.
I would be on the canceling team.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I know. Well, that's, I guess. And I guess the painful thing about starting a new job at a new genre is that people, you have to start from scratch. And then people go, oh, I don't really, because I remember the sad feeling I had in different corporate environments was like, you're wrong. You're not, it's not good that you're here. Or there are certain parts of you that are, filthy. That wasn't worded in that way.
I'd love to have skills. My aunt Gail, best known on this program as for her work in the field of husky rescue, well known for caring for northern breed dogs and replying to Maximum Fun email newsletters, which Stacey Molsky in our office really appreciates. You know, she'll sometimes, once a year or so, she'll be in Southern California. She'll just show up at our office with a two-legged, one-eyed husky that's living with her, and we all get to pet it. My Aunt Gail's pretty impressive. But, you know, my Aunt Gail's in her now mid to late 70s, and despite being a brilliant woman, did not get to go to college. And, you know, college-type jobs were not accessible to her because of, you know, institutional misogyny and so on and so forth. But my Aunt Gail could type like 125 words a minute. And she's also really good at like organizing things. And she worked at the Natural Resources Defense Council running the office, which is a great job. And because she had skills, she had actual skills. Mm-hmm. I have no skills at all.
No, but you know
what? I can't even do a macro. I don't know what a macro is.
Maria, you have an argument.
Here's my argument. Okay. Is that all you got to do, I mean, people just want you to be likable and not poop. Yeah. In public. Like, they just...
just keep my poops private.
I think there's a low bar for participation in having any kind of job. Like, I don't know. I think if you show up generally on time and stay the whole time...
Sure.
I didn't really understand the stay the whole time part of jobs.
Yeah. Like, I can just leave almost at the end, right?
You know what I think I could do?
30 minutes.
You know what I think I could do? I think I could get a civil service job. I think... this is based on my experience working for the San Francisco Department of Elections.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A job where you take a test at the beginning, then you wait to get a placement.
Yeah.
And then once you're in. Not – you can't be profoundly incompetent. But there's no, like, pressure to like, constantly be honing your blade. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
You just got to show up and do what you're supposed to do. You know, it's like if you work at the post office, there's a lady at the post office by my house one time. She tried to sell me pills that you put in your gas tank that make your car get better fuel efficiency. These aren't real pills. You shouldn't sell those at the – but honestly, she's a nice woman at the post office. She does a good job. Nobody's gonna fire her for trying to sell these weird magic pills.
She's got a side hustle.
Yeah.
You know, we all get it. Sure. We all do. Yeah.
This is a job that I think I could
– food around for Grubhub or
I have pills. I have a multi-level marketing thing that it's called Lot's Daughters. It's
okay. Interesting. And tell me more.
Yeah. It's a biblical story where two girls raped their father just have some line of home accessories and lawn ornaments based
That's
on
really cool.
That it's, great.
That is really cool. I love anything.
If you're a foodie, there's the pillar of salt grinder.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
Jordan gets it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a break. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morse, boy detective.
And I'm Maria, bucket of cum.
Wow. It's bluer than I'm used to for Maria Bamford, but I enjoy it.
Listen, you can't. I just said that because it was so bizarre. My husband and I were at Huntington Gardens, this beautiful, elegant.
And we tripped over this bucket.
No. And we're sitting quietly on this bench next to a camellia bush that was blooming. And I just turned to him, and that's what I said. And he was like, he just hugged me. And like, because we, you know, when you have weird thoughts come to mind and they just come to your lips. And that, it was a very loving moment because he was like,
Aww. He just took it in.
Yeah. He's just like,
It was. He was just like, thanks, honey. Glug glug.
Yummy. I want that.
Yeah, and then it didn't come even from anywhere. Like I wasn't thinking about it. And it just came to the lips, and that's what improv is.
Sure, right.
About surprising your loved ones with disturbing pornographic. imagery.
While in a serene setting.
I'm going to be honest with you. The only thing about that story that disappointed me was that you were Huntington Gardens and not Descanso Gardens.
Oh.
My preferred gardens.
So why is that?
More manageable.
Okay.
More affordable.
Okay. Yeah, you got kids. You got
Descanso Gardens got a little train.
I hear that. Yeah, no. I mean, it's a children's paradise.
Jordan, what do you prefer, Huntington or Descanso?
Gardens of Texaco.
Oh, wow.
It's a Mexican restaurant.
Okay.
That might be closed.
Brian is...
I haven't been in a while.
Brian's saying Olive Garden.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah, unlimited soup and breadsticks.
Mm. My aunt loves it there. She has Alzheimer's, and she finds it very comforting.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah. You just... you go and it's always the same. No need to remember anything.
Jordan, the only comfort I ever find is in Walton Goggins vodka.
Right.
Character actor Walton Goggins has a vodka.
Yes.
Listeners
Maria, here's
know.
An ongoing thing on the show that's hard to explain and not satisfying when we do.
Do you mean the thing is hard to explain and not satisfying, or the show? Because either way, I agree.
All of the above.
Yeah.
Walton, I don't even know who Walton Goggins is.
Walton Goggins is maybe best known as the bad guy on Justified.
Okay.
But in the time since, he has become the star of CBS's The Unicorn alongside Rob Corddry and Michaela Watkins.
Michaela Watkins.
And Rob Corddry is also great.
I just know I was in an acting class with Michaela Watkins. Our teacher, I was a smoker, and he smoked so much and so constantly that he had a hose that he smoked into where the smoke went out of his house.
Wow.
That was sucked out of his house so that it wouldn't bother his wife.
Oh, my.
That's wild. Okay.
Yeah.
Walton Goggins
Good in the Hateful Eight.
Good in the Hateful Eight. Mm-hmm. He's an intense-eyed Southern man.
Nice.
Who has really nothing to do with vodka in any reasonable lifestyle sense.
Except that he enjoys it.
Yeah, well, apparently so.
And he's an he has a spirits company.
Yeah.
And we've, for reasons that are... will be unsatisfying and, let's face it, not funny.
Yeah.
Are having people write Walton Goggins vodka jingles.
Yeah, really, it really comes down to my 8-9 year compulsion to sing the Danny DeVito Limoncello song whenever I get the opportunity. And then also Jordan singing the words Walton Goggins has a vodka to the song from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Can I take a crack at it?
Yeah.
Would you please?
Okay. I like his vodka, I like his acting. I like to drink and I like and snacking. I love vodka knocking. I love character work and I love to drink. I love to drink.
Oh, Maria fell asleep on the job. Yeah.
That's the whole thing. It knocks you out.
And I think
people can't smell it on you, so they don't know you're having a problem.
I'm feeling a little peckish. I need to do some insnacting after this.
Acting.
Handful of nuts.
That's the only reason people get into acting
is for the snacting.
We thought
we were done with this segment, but Brian told us that there is a Walton Goggins
really
vodka.
One. We got a great one. We got a great one a couple weeks ago from a guy who did a full version, too long, frankly, but a full version of Zoot Suit Riot by the Cherry Poppin' Daddies about Walton Goggins vodka. Mm-hmm. He did great work. I don't remember exactly what his name was, but he sat with my mom at the Punchline when we did a show at SF Sketchfest. I'm going to say his name was – this is the name of a minor league catcher the Giants just signed, not his name, but Chadwick Trump.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm going to say John Elephant.
Oh, that's a good name.
Yeah.
I'm going to call him Angel.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Angel of the Evening.
Yes,
sure.
Yes. That's so sweet. I love to make up songs. That's good times.
Brian, do we need any context on this song, or are you just going to go ahead and hit play on it?
This one is also very long. So I clipped the first verse and the chorus for you. So we'll play that. And then if you like it, we can play the whole thing.
Okay.
If you want. But
We'll post it on MaximumFun.reddit.com in the episode.
There you go.
Exactly.
Thread, right?
Yeah. So this is by Leet Stetson.
Okay, I'm going to turn my chair right now.
Well, I heard there was a vodka brand created by an actor man who's accomplished both in comedy and drama. But you tried to drink a fifth and now you're falling off your tits. It must be quite a delicious tasting vodka. Walton Goggins has a vodka. Walton Goggins has a vodka.
Yeah, that was really moving.
Beautiful.
No, that made me re-embrace the whole Hallelujah catalog. You know,
sure.
The covers, just because you've heard it so much, it almost loses its magic.
Yeah, it was maybe a little overused in movies for a while, but I think...
Yeah.
It's back.
It's back.
Because of this. It's really beautiful.
Do you think Walton Goggins vodka could bring back, could it bring back Bad to the Bone?
As far as just like cliche.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Cliche needle drops?
Goggs. So maybe, I think, is the answer.
Have you had the vodka, right?
I did have the vodka. I had the vodka recently. Very smooth.
Yeah.
That is a part of business plans now, though. You put things out that people might associate with your name. Like, put out a wine or a notepad collection
or a tea towel, for instance.
Or a tea towel. You got that right.
MarieBamford.com?
Yeah. I don't even know what tea towels are for, but I like the idea that they're, I have tons of them at home.
Right.
And they're just cloth and they're very pretty.
I agree. No, it's a lovely tea towel.
I like a tea cozy.
Sure.
Keep that pot hot.
Ooh,
right.
Keep that pot
cozy.
Hot.
So, Brian, Bugger to come.
Brian, when something.
It's fun how you could do it, you could say it aggressively.
Yeah.
Bugger to come. Or. Bucket of cum.
Do you think we could get Goggins on Jordan Jesse Go? We got
no, no way.
We got Patrick Warburton.
That's true. That's
I mean,
true.
It we took got... us 10 years.
Yes, that's true.
It depends on what part of town he lives in. If you get,
we got Maria Bamford.
No. And if he lives close by, and if he's got, if you promise him some sort of snack or some sort of thing where you go, and if it's about the vodka and about all the songs, I think that's it. That's an in.
We got a Max Funster here named Patrick. This guy brought donuts. Maybe we just keep the donuts here until Goggins comes.
Oh,
sure, we dig a hole, but we lay a sheet over the hole to where it looks like part of the ground. And when Goggins goes to get the donuts, it falls into the hole.
Oh, I thought we were going to make sort of like thousand-year eggs out of the – or what's that Scandinavian fermented fish?
Oh, no, I want to trap him like Bugs Bunny traps the Tasmanian devil.
Either way, I think it could work.
Yeah.
Let's try one, then try the other.
Why not?
Oh, I'm really excited for you and for him, just because it seems like this vodka brand needs a bump.
It does.
I think it does, too. You know what? Goggins needs a bump. He needs the Jordan Jesse Go bump.
Sure. Yeah. He's only got the one network TV show.
Yeah. Well, and the HBO show.
And the HBO show.
So he's only got the two shows and some film roles.
But that's so fleeting. And,
it is.
And, you know, we all know one day you're up, next day you're not, you know.
Sure.
So there's a circle of life in LA, and he may be. Coming off.
The sun could be setting on his...
The Goggins Empire?
The Goggins Empire.
I'm gonna put it this way.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to Walton Goggins on Fresh Air.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fascinating conversation. I'm not going to lie to you. Terry Gross and Walton Goggins had a great convo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But those are edited interviews. And I think I heard... I've got to practice here because I'm a public radio producer myself. Mm-hmm. I think I heard him say... Hey, Terry, can you introduce me to Jesse?
Right.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. You have nice headphones. You can hear that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I promise if he's on the show, over the course of the show, I will drink an entire bottle of the vodka.
All added value to the celeb. If you get a car pickup, I mean, those are just a couple of treats. Scoot that in there. He's here. He's going to come down. I mean, he might. I mean, if... I'm so excited.
Yeah. It's exciting. It's exciting.
Yeah. Look, are we excited to have Maria Bamford here? Yeah, of course we are. Of course we're excited to have Maria Bamford here. But we are positively tumescent over the prospect of getting Goggins in here.
Oh, it's so wonderful.
When something momentous happens to you, like Goggins finally comes in and appears on your podcast, we ask you to call us and share it with us for our segment, Momentous Occasions. The telephone number is 206-984-4FUN. You can also, this being the 21st century, Jordan, just email us a voice memo at jjgo@maximumfun.org. That's easy as fuck to remember, Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
JJGo, well, those are the letters from the name of the show.
Right.
Don't send them to SPY@MaximumFun.org. Stop podcasting yourself.
No.
Dave and Graham aren't going to know what to do with it.
Sure.
What do you, are some people constantly trying to input special moments? Like, you know, yeah.
It's a popular segment.
Some of these fuckers.
Well, I'm just wondering.
We're grateful for all our calls.
Brian combs through them for us.
But what kind of pitch usually works?
Well, it's got to be fresh.
Got to be fresh.
Got to be new.
You know, we've been doing this for a while.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of the momentous occasions we've done.
Is it your usual momentous occasions? Is it sort of like, you know, birth, deaths,
well, those are 10 years in the past.
We've done them.
Yeah, those are all gone. We use those up. We bought a house. I just got a new job. Blah, 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 blah. If you got a new job, you better be the fucking pilot of the Goodyear blimp. That's all I have to say.
Okay.
Like, let's get serious about these fucking momentous occasions. But, you know, people are still out there doing weird sex stuff for the first time.
Oh, my gosh. That's wonderful.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Up the butt?
Yeah.
We have gotten a few up the butts.
Yeah, we've got up the butt pretty well covered. I want to hear about F in the AP. If you're out there doing F in the AP.
What's that? Oh, in the AP?
Yeah.
Well, that is fascinating.
Yeah, you get college credit for the AP.
Who cares? That seems so hard.
Brian, play a call. Play a call. Well, you have to use a lot of lube, I guess.
Well, hey, Jordan, Jesse. This is Mary. I'm calling from Durham, North Carolina.
Pause the show, Brian.
I work at a bakery.
Here's the truth. If you call in with an accent like that, you're in. Your momentous occasion could be, I didn't step on any cracks on the sidewalk on my way to work, so my mother's back is fine.
Or the alligator got out of our backyard.
You can, either poll of, if you got a voice that sweet.
If you have a southern accent and you're saying, well, hey, at least say, well, hi, so you can have the cat from the YouTube video. Have you seen that cat, Maria?
No, I have not.
Well, hi.
I am missing out on so much of the internet.
Yeah.
Brian, go ahead. You can
play the call.
Well, hey.
Well, hey, Jordan, Jesse. This is Mary. I'm calling from Durham, North Carolina. I work at a bakery here, and I just had a customer come in, very polite, British accent gentleman. And when he ordered his pastry, he opened up his briefcase. And inside the briefcase was a pair of British flag socks and a banana. And that's it. Have a great day.
Yay!
Wow.
Good. That is special, yeah.
The sun never sets on the British Empire, Jordan.
Sure.
And now I do. What I also want to know details. What did he order? Did he stay to eat or drink? Or so much I want to know.
Did he use the bathroom for a long time?
Yeah.
You know why the British were so successful as colonialists?
They always had a banana with them.
Never so short on potassium, so they don't have cramps.
Yeah.
Avoiding cramps.
It's a great snack if you're a little cranky in between meals.
Could you imagine
it's really better than a banana?
Could you imagine staring down the Spanish Armada and you got yourself a Charlie horse?
I would hate that.
I can hardly imagine such a nightmarish situation.
That's so interesting. I like that he I just like that he showed her. And that, that people don't always share things about themselves
it's like
willingly.
I imagined him going, first of all, I imagined a hard attaché case. Mm-hmm. I imagined click, click, you know, the sound it makes when the thing's open. Mm-hmm. And then he opens it facing him and turns it around and says, we both know what this is about.
Yeah. I bet it was a ham and cheese croissant.
Oh, yeah.
God, oh, that's
you
nice.
Know what?
I love ham and cheese croissants. Yeah, it's great.
I don't love ham. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Best in a croissant.
I don't love ham, but
I'm going to tell you, it's a waste of calories. Hot fudge sundae every day of the week. Yeah.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
Hey, Jake Heath.
Hey, Helen. I hear you have a true-false quiz you want me to finish.
I do. Here we begin. We host a trivia game show podcast on the Max Fun Network called Go Fact Yourself.
True.
Correct. The show is all about celebrity guests answering trivia questions about things J.K. enjoys.
False. We sometimes don't talk about baseball or cats.
Thank God. It's questions about things they enjoy. Next, we bring on surprise experts every episode.
True.
Correct. Final question. It's just the two of us sitting alone with these guests.
False.
Correct. We have a live audience at the Angel City Brewery. See? You can hear Go Fact Yourself every first and third Friday of the month. And if you don't listen, you can go fact yourself.
True. La, 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 la,
la, la, la, la. Hi, I'm Renee Colbert.
I'm Alexis Preston.
And we're the hosts of the smash hit podcast, Can I Pet Your Dog? Now, Alexis.
Yes.
We got big news.
Uh-oh.
Since last we did a promo, our dogs have become famous.
World famous.
World, like...
stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Second big news.
Mm-hmm.
The reviews are in.
Mm-hmm.
Take yourself to Apple Podcasts. You know what you're going to hear? We're happy.
It's true.
We're a delight, a great distraction from the world.
I like that part a lot.
So if that's what you guys are looking for, mm-hmm. you got to check out our show. But what else can they expect?
We've got dog tech, dog news, celebrities with their dogs, all dog things.
All the dog things. So if that interests you, well, get yourself on over to Maximum Fun every Tuesday. La 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 la.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Maria Bamford.
Maria Bamford has a new comedy special. This is from our friends at Comedy Dynamics.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We got a new comedy special. It's called Weakness is the Brand.
Yes.
This is on your platforms. This is on your iTunes.
Yes.
This is on your Amazon.
Amazon Primes.
Primes. This is on your all these platforms. And I've watched the special. I've watched this special, Jordan, and I promise you this. You won't see a funnier stand-up comedy special. You know why? Best in the business.
I believe it.
Best in the business right here.
I agree. I agree.
Best in the fucking business. And then.
What?
Well, you're good. You watch that. You're only getting an hour or so of Maria Bamford. You're gonna be thirsty for more.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna be thirsty.
What do I watch next?
You're gonna be saying to yourself, "Well, why not tune in to What's Your Ailment on Topics?"
Yeah.
Now, I'm gonna be frank. I don't know what Topics is, but I have watched What's Your Ailment. Watched an episode with our friend Rachel Bloom.
Oh, hey, she's wonderful.
It's Maria. With no shoes on.
Yeah, interviewing people.
Sitting on a couch with her feet up on the couch.
While not
like an animal.
Eye contact.
Like a monster. The great Rachel Bloom, they're sipping herbal tea and talking about their mental health issues. This show is funny. Mm. It's insightful.
Mm.
And you know what? I felt like by watching it, I was engaging in self-care.
It is one of the cheapest forms of mental health that you can get is getting a subscription to Topics. Perhaps just as useless as going to the free clinic. And if I can just put that forward as a promise.
I cannot recommend either of these things enough. Our friend Andy Kindler's in an episode.
Yes.
Who else you got on there?
We also have non-comedians with Ellen Sachs from the USC School of Law, where she is one of the only out people who are professionals. She's a lawyer with many degrees. She wrote a beautiful book called The Center Cannot Hold about her experiences. She's has schizophrenia and just unbelievable human being and person. And so we interview her. We interview Tom Arnold, who, of course, is a live wire and willing to talk about anything.
Right. Can I tell you, I had Tom Arnold on Bullseye a few years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And Tom Arnold, the minute you start talking to him, you're like, oh, this is why he was like starring in movies and stuff. You're like, this person is unbelievable.
Yeah,
like, this is an amazing person. Like, I'm like, he's like the amount of things going through his head and hilarious things, completely wild, like totally like shake you to the ground childhood stories.
Oh my God.
Like
yeah.
anything. And he's just like right there. He's like, let's go. He's
yeah. Like, yeah. And his heart on his sleeve, like really. Yeah, I mean, I love the principle of open book accounting where everybody knows what everybody, you know, I feel like talking to him is just like, oh, everything. Ah, yeah. You got cameras yeah. in your house. He has all these cameras in his house so that, and it's kind of a comforting thing so that everything's filmed. So there's never any question of what happened or who was with who. And because I think because of childhood experiences of being left alone with somebody who wasn't safe. And yeah, anyways, just to. He's that was very fascinating. Then oh God, Tig Notaro.
Oh yeah,
Tig Notaro.
So good. Jen Kirkman is hilarious. Okay. That one's up. Yeah,
love her.
She's very good. And
that's our friend.
We did dueling mother impersonations.
you and Jen Kirkman, two of the best mom impressions in the business.
Well, we both decided that the reason you do it is so that you have some sense of intimacy with your parent. Mm. Like that sense, I feel this closeness to my mom, also a control over our relationship of I get to say what she's saying.
Wow.
And yeah, so that was...
That's what was so interesting that came out of that. And,
yeah, so, and many more.
Yeah, this sounds like the perfect streaming program for Jordan Jesse Go fans. You've had so many of our
yes.
favorites on there.
Yes, and, again, of course, hang up, dial 911. That's the best form of healthcare, even if you get really shitty help, this is my argument, yeah. Sometimes that can trampoline you into a better space. Like I remember I went to the GLBTQ center for free therapy when I first moved to LA, and I was like really terrible. I'd lost – was out of medication, and I was close to living in my car, and I was telling the woman this. You know, I just got mugged, and she said, oh, my God. So what are you going to do? And she was so terrified that I was like, you know, I'm going to be fine. Holy cow. Should I check back on you in a couple of weeks? So you never know what, you know, shitty help, how helpful it might be. I went to a therapist online, betterhelp.com, who said she texted me and she said, Christine, of course you're stressed. You just had a baby. And it was helpful. Yeah. It was helpful, weirdly helpful. I was like, yeah, Christine just had a baby.
Yeah.
You know, what am I worried about?
Sure. Christine's out there changing diapers.
Yeah.
Trying to have a career, too. Trying to have it all.
And think about how stressed my poor therapist is that she's toggling clients on her phone.
They're all texting at the same time. Everybody needs something. Wow. Wow.
So good.
And there's a lot of great merchandise available at your website. You have a lot of cool stuff
God,
up there.
Yes.
The tea towel we've mentioned.
Tea towel. Got comic book. My husband created based on... it's a story of our love as told by our two dogs. I should have brought you one. And it's called Hog Book and Laser Eyes. And it's been well reviewed on a couple of comic book sites.
Your husband, Scott, very talented artist.
Yes!
Very gifted artist.
Thank you.
And I'm not just saying that because I ran into the two of you at Whole Foods once. And now anytime I go to that Whole Foods and I don't see them, I'm disappointed.
We're in there.
Yeah, at the hot bar.
We like to go and get all the
hot
vegan,
the hot bar,
the vegan stuff, and then pick up a bucket of fried chicken on the way home,
and maybe a bucket of cum.
We're just a bucket of cum.
While you're getting buckets of stuff,
if you're wondering what's on that Popeye's chicken sandwich,
it's actually the brioche bun.
Yeah, it's a brioche.
Is that what makes it so good? I haven't tried that that delicious sandwich yet.
Brioche.
It is as good as everyone says it is. I think it's just a good piece of chicken. It's a nice piece of chicken that you're not used to getting at a fast food place. Mm. It's juicy, tender, got a couple pickles on there. Lives up.
Not homophobic.
No, it's not homophobic. You can get it on a Sunday.
Yep.
Their coleslaw's pretty good there too.
Ooh, I love slaw.
Popeye. Yeah, so I don't know. Yeah, if you're in the market for a chicken sandwich, Popeye's I know, cold take, but that Popeye's chicken sandwich is real good.
I kind of feel bad talking about this without Elliot Kalin here.
I think he's got on record as saying he likes pieces and he doesn't like sandwiches. So
okay, great.
Interesting. Yeah.
Great. I just didn't want to get into Popeye's without EK.
Yeah.
That's his name. Yeah. Friend Elliot Kalin, famous Popeye's lover. Maria Bamford. The special is called Weakness is the Brand.
Thank you.
Refers to her essential tremor.
Yes.
It is a brilliant fucking piece of work that you should go into iTunes and pay your $4.99 for or whatever. Just do it. It's worth it. I promise.
You've got to have, pre-order it because then you know you have it.
Yeah.
It'll feel good. You'll feel a sense of security knowing that you have it.
And then also invite friends and family over that you're having kind of a comfortable relationship with and just see how it goes while watching it.
A good piece of advice.
See how it goes. Brian Sonny D. Fernandez is our producer. You can find us at MaximumFun.reddit.com where I think there's going to be that whole Goggins song.
Yeah, we'll put up the whole Goggins song. We will throw it up there on the Facebook page. Thank you to everybody who's contributing Goggins songs. We love them.
I love these Gog songs. When we get Goggins in here, we're going to play him a few of these songs, then he's going to be our friend.
I swear to God.
He'll have a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Especially, you know what I bet? I bet Rob Corddry would forward an email to Goggins for us.
Well, and if you never know. If somebody's a raging extrovert who loves to hang out, you know.
That's true.
You never know.
That's true. Maybe he just wants to get real.
Oh, God.
He's tired of those stuffy NPR interviews with Terry Gross, and he wants to just get raw and real with two bros and their bucket of gum.
Hashtag at JJGo on Twitter and MaxFunStore.com for that Roll'em shirt. This is the last week.
Last week.
You have until the end of the month, and then you're fucked forever.
Get the shirt ever again.
You're going to be so fucking sad on February 3rd.
Right.
You're going to be so fucking sad on March 12th.
But they could make their own shirt if they wanted on the side of Cafe.
They could!
But they won't! They could!
What do you think we're running here, Fugazi?
Honestly, I'm so sorry.
What do you think this is, a punk rock operation?
I always tell people to make your own fucking merch.
There you go.
Come on.
DIY.
I can't.
You can't DIY.
Take a piece of masking
tape. Book your own life.
With these checked baggage fees.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. We'll talk to you next time on Jordan Jesse Go.
Well, I heard there was a vodka brand created by an actor man who's accomplished both in comedy and drama. But you tried to drink a fifth, and now you're falling off your tits. It must be quite a delicious tasting vodka. Walton Goggins has a vodka. Walton Goggins has a vodka. You bet it's strong, more than 80 proof. You better stay the hell off the roof. I'm afraid you'll fall and suffer major trauma. I'll tie you to a kitchen chair till you sober up. I'll leave you there until your lips no longer smell like vodka. Walton Goggins has a vodka. Walton Goggins has a vodka. You know that we've been here before. I've cleaned your puke off the floor and held you while you cried out for your mama. I don't want to hear you cry at night. Just go to bed, turn off the light, and dream of having more Mulholland vodka. Walton Goggins has a vodka. Walton Goggins, it's not marijuana. Walton Goggins has a vodka. Walton Goggins has a vodka. Thank you.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Audience supported.